Good morning, church. A lot of people are missing this morning, but it's okay. We are going to have a good time. Amen. I trust the Holy Spirit will speak. He's moving in our midst. He's doing something good. And it's always an honor and a joy to speak to you. I love the church. I love the body of Christ. And this morning, I try to give you a different perspective on things. Hopefully, it will bring some breakthrough, some revelation in your life. Greetings from my parents from New Zealand. They're in New Zealand right now. They are ministering and also having a good time holidaying with staying with this pastor, James Rao. He's ministered with us before. And they're having a good time. He's taking good care of them. So, are you ready for the word? Okay, we asked many times already. By this time, sure, very ready. I'm going to share a deep spiritual truth with you this morning. Can or not? Can we go deep or not? It's very deep, huh? It's a deep spiritual word, so deep that if you believe and you receive it, it will revolutionize your life. Are you ready? Sure, ready. Here's the deep truth. God loves you. Amen. God loves you. It's so simple, sometimes we miss it. We get so familiar. We wear the t-shirt, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves you. We are so familiar with this word, it just flies over our head. Yala, I know God loves me. I hear it so many times. John 3:16, He so loved the world. I know God loves me. I know God loves me. But it's simple, but it's deep. Jeremiah 31:3 says, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Everlasting love means His love never ends. Amen. Lamentations 33:22, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Hallelujah. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Amen. Greater love has no one than this. Okay, message finished, you can go home. I'm kidding, huh? So if you walked into church today feeling distant from God, feeling cold from God, feeling far from God, I'm here to remind you, or even if you're a loved one, you have a loved one that's far from God, that is lost, that you feel you don't know how to reach out to them, don't know how to pray to them, I am here to remind you that God loves you. God loves your loved ones. His desire is always that you and your household be safe. Somebody say amen. You are the apple of His eye. He's engraved your name in the palm of His hands. He loves us, church, so deeply. How long, how wide, how deep, how high is the love of Christ? Amen. That's what the scripture says. So the title of the message today is, if you're taking notes, it's Love Never Fails. Love never fails. First point, He's not a performance-based God. What do you mean by performance-based? I mean, His love for us is not based on our performance. All right? The word in Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in sin, He reached out to us first. He loved us first. We didn't do anything to deserve this. It's not, let me see if Jonathan qualifies for my love or not today. He didn't pray before he ate his breakfast. Cannot bless him. Demerit points. He forgot to give tithes. Give tithes late. Oh, minus points. Jonathan ran a traffic light last night when no one was looking. He's practicing lawlessness in his life. Minus points. No, His love for me, despite my flaws, despite my failures, despite your flaws and failures, is never changes. Amen? Despite our flaws, despite our failures, even though Uncle Risha forgot to pray for his banana leaf meal, He still loves Uncle Risha. Amen? We want to live our best for the Lord. We want to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord, but we will make mistakes. I'm being real this morning. We all are going to make mistakes here and there. We are all going to make wrong decisions here and there. We all are going to have flaws. When you think you are perfect, guess what? That's a flaw already. That means you got pride. That means you got ego. You know, we need to acknowledge that we need the Lord. We need the Lord. We all need help. Amen? In Psalms 119, even David says this, oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. This is David, you know. Oh, that my life and your word, matches. Please don't give up on me, Lord, that I would reflect what your word says. Even David is struggling in this. David, you know, the psalmist, we all struggle in this. God, don't give up on me. Somebody say amen. God, don't give up on us. I'm not there yet, but I will get there. And guess what? God still loves you, church. He still loves us. And he doesn't wait for you to be perfect before he can use you. He doesn't wait for you to get your life in order, everything okay, then only I can bless, then only I can use you, then only I can make your life a testimony for me. No. He does not wait for us to be perfect. He can use you in your weaknesses. In your mess, he can still speak to you. He is a good God. Amen? And he never gives up on us. Isaiah 49:15 says, never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I will not forget you. Psalm 27:10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Hallelujah. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Everybody can leave you. Everybody in your life can walk away from you, but he will never forsake you. When you are going through that difficult situation at home, you are not forsaken. When you are going through that messy divorce that you are struggling with, you are not forsaken. Church, if you are going through chemotherapy, you are not forsaken. Hallelujah. When you're struggling with your business, when you're struggling knee-deep in debt, you are not forsaken. Amen. Very quiet this morning. When you're struggling with a problem child at home, somebody's giving you a lot of headache, you are not forsaken. So the thing is, we got all this good word right here. So nice. He's so good. He never forsakes me. You know, everything is written in the word. Everything is great. The question is, if God loves me so much, then why? Why am I struggling? Why is my life so difficult? Why things look good for a while and then boom, something happens and turn things around? I know we've been taught, don't ask why, don't question God. But today, let's ask why, Naomi. Why, Lord? Why am I struggling? Why is this going through? You said you love me. You said God is love, God is good, God loves me. Then why? I told you I'm getting real this morning. In Psalm 105:19, it gives us a clue. It says, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. It's a clue for us. Right? Another translation says, God's promise to Joseph purged his character until it was time for his dreams to come true. Your character will be challenged. Your dreams, your vision over your life, over your loved ones, over your family will be challenged until you have passed, until it's time for your dreams to come true. You see, Joseph had big dreams that he would rule, everybody bowing down before him, rule and reign, big dreams. So what happened immediately after that? The brothers catch him, whack him, sold him as a slave. Sold him as a slave, he gets to work in somebody's house as a servant. He rises up, does well, gets accused of attempted rape, gets thrown in jail. Everything gets worse. Now, even in jail, he starts to do well. He takes over the jail, really. He's doing very well. And these guys come to him for help, and he interprets their dreams. And they get reinstated to the palace, right? One guy dies, one guy gets reinstated. And he says, please don't forget me when you go there. Remember me in jail. Get me out of jail. Get me out of prison. Guess what? The guy forgot about him for another 2 years. He thought, God, this is it. This is my breakthrough. I'm coming out of jail, but not yet. Another 2 years. 2 years. And then suddenly he gets an audience with Pharaoh and immediately becomes a prime minister. Overnight, from a prisoner to prime minister. Not like our prime minister, terbalik. Prime minister to prisoner. Alamak. I wish it happened overnight, but it didn't. Now mine, it still happened. But Joseph's character was tested and tried in every area, right? Until he passed, because love never fails. Love never fails. God's love for Joseph, God's purpose for Joseph, it never fails. God's love for you, God's purpose for you, church, will never fail. Amen. It may look like it's taking a long time, but late victory is still victory. Late victory is still victory. It's on the way. We will all get tested. Just remember, you are not forsaken. When you want to take a long drive, let's say you want to go to Penang, or you want to drive your family to Langkawi, what do? You send your car for service first. You check everything about your car, your engine okay, your brakes okay, your tires okay. When we went to, we have a Harley group, we rode to all the way to Koh Samui, very far. Everybody needs to send the bike in for service, for inspection, to check anything. Why? So that you don't break down when you're there. Spoil your whole trip when you are there. If anything goes wrong, they have a record. They know, okay, your bike, this one is 50%, that's why this thing happened. They can fix it on the spot. Sometimes it's the same thing with the Lord. He gives us a thorough checkup. Sometimes our engine needs an overhaul already. You don't know, you're still running, you are going to crash, you are going to burn. God says, wait. Joseph had to wait extra 2 years. We don't know. It can be overnight, it can be 2 years, it can be 10 years, we don't know. Until the time to come true. The thing is, He loves you with an everlasting love. He wants you to be ready. He wants you to win at the end. He doesn't want you to have some victory and then crash and burn. We do not want that. Amen? His purpose and His love for you will never fail. Now back to performance-based love. Almost everyone he called in the Bible were not based on performance. Moses was a murderer. Samson, mighty strong Samson. This guy, womanizer, go see prostitute all. God can use him. God use him. Paul hunted and killed Christians. David committed adultery. Hello? The disciples. Now, if you were recruiting people, you were a recruiter, you take the disciples' CV, guarantee you will not recruit them. You know? But God saw something in them and God used these people to become heroes because He is not a performance-based God. Amen? Now, He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Don't get me wrong. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. When we put Him first, He blesses us. When we disobey, we walk against Him, He withholds His blessing for a season. For a season. And then His kindness always brings us back. His love for us never changes. He is consistent when we are not consistent, church. Amen. Like David said, God, help me. Please help me, God. Because David also is struggling to be consistent, but our God is consistent when we are not consistent. Hallelujah. One day, Skylar, my six-year-old Skylar, she asked me this question. I got a shock, you know. She said, Papa, is God better than you? I was taken aback. What? Is God better than you? I said, yes. God is a lot better than me. The word says He is slow to anger. He doesn't get angry like me. He doesn't say the wrong things like me. The Bible says it takes slow to anger means a long time to get angry. He's very, very patient. You know, He's a good God. He's a good Father. Sometimes Papa makes mistakes. Sometimes Papa says the wrong thing. Sometimes Papa loses His cool. Hello? Only me, right? You better pray for me. But God is not like that. God is way better than me. I'm teaching Skylar. I reward Skylar when she does well. When she makes me angry, I don't want to talk to her. I turn my face away from her. Don't disturb me. You know kids, right? Sometimes you are angry, but they like normal, like nothing. Hey, Abba, this one, but you're still burning. Like, oh. Only me. Okay, pray for me. I know you all, I love you, not mine. I'm not like that. But anyway, maybe you're more like God than me. But God is not like that. Hallelujah. A lot of how many times when I felt like I've fallen short and I come back to the Word, He always speaks kindness. He always speaks love to me. That is the God that we serve. He is a good God. And He rewards us whenever He feels like it, not we feel like it. He rewards you whenever you need it. Not you think you need it, but He knows you need it. His kindness leads us to repentance. His blessings brings us back to Him. not for us to forget Him. So if I'm painting a picture of what God is for a six-year-old, I better make sure I paint the right picture. I'm speaking to parents in this house. I'm talking to dads. I'm talking to moms. If your kids are comparing you to God because you tell them God the Father, and now they look at their real father like, alamak, God is like this. We better paint the right picture. If you do not do that, they are going to learn about God the Father from other father figures that comes into their life. Other influences, their friends who teach them what they think God is. So it's a very big responsibility. So we better paint the right picture of who God is at home. Let us do our best to show the next generation what type of God He is. He is good. Amen. His love never fails. He's someone you can trust. He's someone who will never fail you. He's someone that is closer than a brother. Amen. His love is not performance-based. Second point, God is love, and love one another. In 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love. Read this one with me, just this one only. Love what? One another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love who? One another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Amen. Amen. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. God lives in us. John 13:35. You have it up there? God 13:35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. If you, what does it say, church? If you have love for? If you have love for one another. It doesn't say, by this, all men know that you are my disciples. If you read the whole Bible. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciple if you fast and pray a few times a year. By this, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you attend church every Sunday. No. By this, all men know that you are my disciples if you tithe, if you give, you're the biggest giver in the church. No. By this, all men know you're my disciples if I speak in tongues. No, no, no. All wrong. By this, shall all men know of you, my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. Everything I said was important. We need to read the Bible. We need to give our tithes and our offerings. We need to serve. Yes, but we do. If we do not have love, we lost the plot. Love is the key. Love is the crucial thing. This is how we show the world that God is real, because we have love for one another. Hello, church. Good morning. Now, you said you were ready for the church, now for the message, but now like not ready, ready. Third one, love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Reinforcing what Christ was teaching about love one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, I'm sure you know the story of Noah and the ark. Everybody knows Noah and the ark? Yeah? There was a great flood. Noah and his family gets on the ark. The animals gets on the ark and they were saved. What happened after the flood was, in the word it says, Noah planted a vineyard. He made wine and he drank the wine and he got drunk. So drunk that he was sleeping naked in his tent. When you're sleeping naked in his tent, his son Ham, his son's name is Ham, walks in on him, sees the father naked, comes out and go and tell the brothers, hey, he's naked, he's sleeping drunk until naked. The brothers, the other two brothers, they put a cloth on their shoulders, they walk backwards to cover the father, turn their face away from his nakedness. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sin. When the father woke up and found out what happened, Guess what? The guy Ham got cursed and the other two brothers were blessed. Because love supposed to cover. Huh? Love covers a multitude of sin. We are supposed to cover each other. We don't laugh and make mistake when a brother or a sister falls. Hello? We cover one another in this house. We lift each other up. It takes love to cover one another, to help one another heal. Because love never fails. When the prodigal son came back to the father, the first thing the father did was he put a robe on him, cover him. Love covers a multitude of sin. No more shame. Forget about the past. What's done is done. Cover you. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Now, this does not mean whatever sin, whatever nonsense going on, also never mind. We cover up. This is not cover up. Huh? Cover up is a different thing. We're not talking about that. We're not going to let somebody, if there's sin, we need to address it. We need to face it. We need to get rid of it. We don't allow the guy to cover the sin. Continue living in sin and destroy his life, destroy his future, destroy his family. No. Sin needs to be addressed. It needs to be dealt with. It is not a free pass. It's about when a person has realized and they come back to the Lord, we cover. We do not judge. We don't dig up the past and flash it in front of your face. Hey, this is what you did. No. Amen. We love them. We cover them. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 10, it says, use whatever gift you have to help others. One may be good in this area, another good in that area. We don't look down on them because they're not like you or not like me. God designed us like this so that we can be a complete body. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes you see I'm playing drums. Sometimes you see me, I'm doing sound. I use whatever gift I have. I don't tell Brother Keith on the worship, I just want to play drums, honey. I just want to bang on the drums all day. I don't want to do anything else. You know, whatever there's a need, we just do. Sometimes my dad asked me to preach, okay, preach. My dad asked me to help arrange chairs, I arrange chairs. Whatever there is a need, we just do it. Amen? Amen? Now, no one will ask me to make coffee. Because if I make coffee, maybe everybody will live with diabetes. Tambah gula, mana ada kurang gula. You know? And no one will ask Brother Keith in the worship team to handle the children's church. Sunday school will become school of rock. No one will ask Joanna to handle sound. Her gift is sounding people, not handle sound. She does the kids' ministry, very great. So all of us play a part. Yeah, we use our gifts to bless the body. Some of you have the gift of giving. Fantastic. God loves a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. Use your gift to bless. Bless others. Bless people. Cover one another. But remember, the key to all this thing is love. Whatever we do, it has to be out of love. Be more than friends in the church. Sam got excited when I say be more than friends. But I'm talking about more than friends as in brother and sister. Huh? Be family. Be family, yeah? In the church. Look out for one another. Care for one another. Not I only love my cell group. I only love my ministry. I only love the worship team. I only love Pastor Stephen's preaching. Jonathan preaching, not so. Huh? I'm talking to my mother-in-law. I'm not making eye contact. I only love Chinese people. Indians all, Tamil section. No, we love everyone. We went to Israel a few years ago, and one part of it, you get all the Catholics are there in one area, and then the Israelites, and then the Palestinian. They are all in one center. So the Israeli soldiers are walking around with their guns and everything. And these Palestinian guys come and ask our group, where are you all from? Say, we're from Malaysia. Who you love? Palestine or Israel? No. Tell who you love. Palestine or Israel? Must choose. Tell. Then this auntie in our group said, we love everybody. We love everybody. Good answer. Very safe. Love one another. I'm working on this too. Sometimes some people make it very hard to love them. You know, but we love. Why my wife laughs so loud? Don't expose my weakness. But all men will know if you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Hallelujah. So don't be a stranger in the church. Make yourself friendly. Make yourself vulnerable a little bit. You know, and when we're dealing with difficult situations, we need to learn to look at it with love. What does love look like in this situation? Take a step back. Okay, what would love do in handling this? If we react out of anger, out of bitterness, things can turn very, very ugly, especially in families. What would love look like in this situation? How would love respond? Is it a tough love? Is it a gentle love? Is it a love that covers a multitude of sin type of love? What does love look like? Because if we can do that, we can show the world that we are His disciples. Amen? Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, giving over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Anybody know? What is love, baby? Okay, now mind the 90s people will get it. So what is love? Verse 4, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen. So what Paul is saying is the most important thing we need is still love. This scripture is not just for weddings. It's for us to practice every day. Amen. And I'm very thankful for the love we have in our church. Our church is an amazing church. I'm thankful for the love we have. The aunties, the uncles, the brothers and sisters, they always encourage me when I speak. One Sunday when after preaching, I felt like, ayo, this was thorough. Then one of the brothers told me, hey, today was one of the best ones. Huh? No? For him. But I don't feed on it or depend on it, but it's nice lah, every now and then. Even last night, this one of the aunties in our church messaged me, I heard you're preaching tomorrow, I'm praying for you. Wonderful. What is that? That is love. The late Auntie Betty, oh, she was love in action. She'll pull me aside, pray for me. Jonathan, you're preaching. Before message, also pray for me. After message, also pray for me. You know, she's greatly missed. Amen. Uncle Risha, before the COVID, not only he will hug me, he will kiss me. And sometimes the kiss is a bit wet. Thank God now we wear a face mask a bit. Okay, COVID, tawale. So, every time Pastor Stafford preaches, he will mention Joanna, right? So every time I preach, I will mention my mother-in-law or Uncle Risha. They're on my rotation. Today is special because both also cannot mention. So, okay, musician can come up already. I better close me. So the Bible teaches us about love. If you go to the world, you go and attend motivation talks, they will also tell you, love your clients. Love your business. Love will be your greatest defense. Love will be your greatest weapon. All these are taken from where? The Bible. All these ideas, the greatest teacher in the world is all from the Bible. It's taken from the Lord, from Jesus Himself. Love never fails. So I'm going to summarize right now. So God loves you. He will never forsake you. God is not a performance-based God. Let's show our kids, show the next generation what God is really like. Now God is love. Because He is love, we need to love one another. And the last point, love covers a multitude of sin. Cover one another. Love one another. Let's show the world what real love really looks like. Can we do that, church? Amen. God bless you.